Just as health and safety measures will be needed for responders during an animal health emergency, security procedures will also be essential to protect responders, the response site, as well as the public. This just-in-time training presentation will address security issues to be aware of and measures to take to ensure your personal security, as well as the security of the incident site during a response. Security threats during an animal health emergency can range from intentional, malevolent threats such as angered landowners, animal rights activists, or unauthorized media, to acts of vandalism or theft, as well as unintentional threats such as inadvertent intruders, curious visitors, or self-deployed volunteers. Additionally, when entering unfamiliar premises, aggressive dogs may be encountered. The implementation of security measures serves various functions. First, it helps to control access to the worksite and prevent unauthorized persons from entering or interfering with the response. It also helps to limit the risk of disease exposure or spread to areas beyond the control area, as well as prevent hazards or injury to personnel or the general public. Security measures also allow for close monitoring of personnel to maintain their safety and security. To establish and ensure site and personnel security, all response operations will have a security officer. In smaller scale incidents, this role may be filled by the incident commander. The security officer works with the operations section chief to establish and maintain security for the incident site. The security officer duties include assessing the security threat potential for all buildings, dwellings, or sites occupied by response personnel, determining the necessary control measures needed for all entrances and exits to the infected premises or control zone, establishing a personnel identification system, establishing a communication system to account for all personnel, and implementing the use of temporary fencing if warranted. All animal health emergency responses should have a site control plan. This plan should, at a minimum, include a map of the response site designating the necessary boundaries, site work zones delineating where particular response activities will occur, procedures for site communication, including an alerting method for emergencies, standard operating procedures for safe work practices such as the use of the buddy system and personal protective equipment, and identification of the nearest medical assistance. It is important for all responders to know the elements of the site control plan for the response. Site security is primarily established by controlling the entry and exit to the premises. This helps to limit access to the site to only those who are authorized and necessary for response procedures. Posting warnings or restriction signs in obvious locations at the perimeter and entrance to the site can help designate response site boundaries and discourage unauthorized visitors. Response sites should maintain a logbook to record vehicles and individuals entering and exiting the response site. It is also important to ensure response areas are well lit, especially for any evening activities. Some response situations may require personnel to guard perimeters and maintain site security. Law enforcement may also be needed to ensure the security of the response site. Controlling access to the response site is best addressed through the use of designated work zones. Responders should understand the location and implications of each of the biosecurity work zones. The use of work zones ensures personnel entering the worksite are properly protected against hazards while working, that work activities and contamination are confined to appropriate areas, that personnel can be located quickly and evacuated if necessary, and the entrance of the response site is controlled. Biosecurity work zones include the hot zone or exclusion zone, which is the potentially contaminated or unsafe area, such as the infected animal premises. Appropriate PPE must be worn in this area. The warm zone, or contamination reduction zone, is also considered a high-risk area due to the potential for exposure to pathogens and chemical disinfectants. All personnel are required to wear PPE. The decontamination or decon corridor is the area between the hot zone and the warm zone. Decontamination of personnel and disinfection of equipment occurs here. Teams enter and exit the site through this corridor. Once responders have doffed, disinfected, and decontaminated in the warm zone, they should move to the cold zone or support zone through the designated control access points. The cold zone or support zone is the clean, uncontaminated area of the site where responders should not be exposed to hazardous conditions. Support functions are based here. Donning of PPE prior to entry into the hot zone also occurs here. A full description and discussion of work zones can be found in the Biosecurity Overview Just-in-Time presentation. Responders have some level of responsibility for their own security. All personnel must adhere to the security procedures established for the incident. Personnel will receive information about on-site security procedures during their initial briefing. Communication during the response is essential. If a security or safety issue arises, prompt communication with supervisors will be necessary. Each field team should be equipped with a cell phone or radio for communication. When leaving the facility, responders should verbally notify their supervisor of their destination. During a response, be aware of your surroundings. If unauthorized or suspicious persons are noted on or around the response site, contact your supervisor or the security officer immediately. Monitor the individual until assistance can be obtained. Response personnel must be accounted for at all times during a deployment. This includes personnel conducting site investigations as well as personnel working in a response control zone. Personnel must enter and exit the response site through designated points and follow all check-in and check-out procedures. All response personnel should use the Buddy system. This involves working in pairs and staying in close visual contact with each other. Due to the number of physical and psychological demands during an animal emergency response, the use of the Buddy system allows for the observation of each other and assures assistance in the event of an emergency, including safety for threatening or security situations. Responders using the Buddy system should remain in close visual contact with their partner, assist their partner as requested or needed, observe their partner for signs of distress, such as heat stress or other difficulties, and notify their supervisor or other site personnel if emergency assistance is needed. If the use of the Buddy system is not feasible, a call-in schedule should be established for personnel working alone. This involves a schedule of when the responder is to call in to a supervisor. During some responses, situations may arise where the actions, behavior, or language of an owner or occupant of a premises or another member of the public may cause concern for one's personal safety. In these situations, personal safety is always a first priority. If threatened, avoid confrontation. Remain calm and leave the premises immediately. These types of situations can escalate without warning. Contact your team supervisor regarding the situation. For some situations, law enforcement may be needed. When interacting with owners, use the following guidelines. Travel in teams or at a minimum with a buddy. No one should be in the field alone. Carry a cell phone and phone number list for supervisory personnel with you at all times. If a security or safety concern occurs, leave the area and, depending on the urgency of the situation, call a supervisor or law enforcement. Document the incident and provide detailed information to the security officer. Note that individuals interfering with a government employee doing his or her job are in violation of Title 18 of the U.S. Code and may be subject to fines or up to 1 year in prison or both. When entering premises, aggressive dogs may also pose a threat. It is important to be aware of your surroundings when entering a premises or yard. Upon arrival to a location, look for any unrestrained dogs or listen for barking. If dogs are seen or heard, do not enter the premises until the animals can be restrained. If the owner is present, ask them to restrain the dogs. If you are confronted by a dog or pack of dogs, do not turn and run. Instead, avoid eye contact and slowly back away while putting a barrier, such as a gate or fence, between you and the dog. If you are knocked to the ground, curl into a ball and place your hands over your head and neck to prevent serious injury to those areas. If you are bitten, get immediate medical attention and report the incident. For more information on responder security issues during an animal health emergency response, consult the USDA FADPREP Health and Safety Guidelines and the USDA Health and Safety Plan. Information provided in this presentation was developed at the Center for Food Security and Public Health at Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine through funding from the Multi-State Partnership for Security in Agriculture.